Hey everyone. Ever wonder why some people just seem to get programming while others, well, not so much?
The question a lot of people asked.
Right. So today we're on a mission to uncover what makes someone a coding whiz. Or, you know, maybe not a whiz, but at least capable.
Yeah, capable. And what we're looking at today is some fascinating research that explores whether we can actually predict which students will thrive or struggle in programming courses.
So we're talking like, can we know ahead of time who's going to ace that intro to Java class and who's going to be asking for an extension?
And we're not just talking about your typical good with computers stereotype. Mm. This research digs into the surprising connection between our cognitive skills, how we think, learn, and process information, and our aptitude for programming.
Okay, so you're saying there's more to coding than just being a tech whiz. That's interesting. What kind of cognitive skills are we talking about? Like, what makes someone cognitively cut out for coding?
Well, this particular study, titled Toward Finding and Supporting Struggling Students in a Programming Course with an Early Warning System, focused on a few key areas, one of which is the ability to form what's called an early mental model of programming.
Early mental model. That sounds kind of deep. What does that even mean?
So think of it like this. Imagine you're learning a new language, right? You need to grasp the basic grammar and structure before you can even think about forming sentences. An early mental model is like that foundational understanding, but for programming concepts. It's how you visualize and organize those fundamental building blocks of code in your mind right from the get-go.
So you're saying that how we visualize code early on can actually make or break our success. That's huge. It's like having the right mental map before you even start the journey. But how do the researchers even measure something like that? You can't exactly peer inside someone's head and see their code visualizations, right?
Well, not yet, at least. They use a tool called the Early MM Test, which presents students with a series of tasks that range in complexity.
Okay, so walk us through it. What kind of tasks?
Sure. Some tasks are as simple as assigning a value to a variable, while others involve more intricate challenges like swapping the values of variables.
So if you can crack the code swap, you've got a solid early mental model.
Exactly. The study found that students who struggled with those early tasks, particularly those involving variable manipulation, tended to face more hurdles throughout the course.
Makes sense.
They just didn't have that same solid foundation to build upon.
Right. So it's like if your foundation is shaky, you're going to struggle to build a strong structure on top of it.
Right, exactly.
So we've got these early mental models, but this research went beyond just these, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned language skills earlier, and I'm really curious about that connection. I mean, what does writing a killer essay have to do with writing code?
It's an interesting link, right? You'd be surprised. It turns out there might be a stronger link than you'd expect. The study used three different language assessments: a C test to gauge overall fluency, a receptive vocabulary test to assess reading comprehension, and perhaps most interestingly, a productive vocabulary test to see how well students could actively use their vocabulary.
Okay, break that down for me. What were the results of these language tests? And which one surprised you the most?
Well, all three language tests actually showed a correlation with programming success, meaning that, generally speaking, stronger language skills seem to be linked to better programming performance. However, what was really fascinating was that the productive vocabulary test, the one that required active word use, showed the strongest connection.
Wow, so it's not just about recognizing words, it's about being able to wield them effectively. You know, that actually makes a lot of sense. Programming is essentially about using a specific language to instruct a computer to do something. And just like with spoken languages, clarity, precision, and a good vocabulary are key.
Precisely. This suggests that those who can effectively express themselves in their native language might have an advantage when it comes to the logic and structure of coding.
This is fascinating. I never would have guessed that my English teacher was secretly prepping me for a career in software development. Okay, so we've talked about mental models and language skills. What about other cognitive factors? I imagine focus must play a huge role in programming. You know, that ability to block out distractions and get lost in lines of code for hours.
It seems intuitive, right?
Yeah.
But this is where things get really interesting. The study actually found a surprisingly weak link between sustained attention and overall programming success.
Wait, really? I'm having a hard time processing that. How could someone succeed at programming if they can't even focus?
It was unexpected. Oh. They measured attention using a test called the D2R, which is kind of like those spot the difference games, but with code. It involves rapid visual scanning and decision making, similar to what programmers do when debugging. Interestingly, the study found that while sustained attention wasn't strongly correlated with overall success, it was a more significant factor for those top-performing students who aced all the other assessments.
Ah, so for those students who already had a strong grasp of the fundamentals and a knack for problem solving, attention became a more crucial ingredient in their success. It's like they had all the raw talent, but their ability to focus and really hone in on the details set them apart.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, what about intelligence?
Yeah.
Surely you need to be a genius to wrap your head around all those complex algorithms, right?
Well, I wouldn't be here if I didn't have some faith in my own intelligence. But I'll admit, coding has always felt a bit like rocket surgery to me.
I love that analogy. But seriously, this is another area where the research might surprise you. They specifically looked at fluid intelligence, which is that ability to solve novel problems and think logically, essentially, how adaptable and quick you are on your feet when faced with new challenges.
So not just knowing a bunch of facts, but being able to connect the dots in new situations.
Exactly. And they did find that fluid intelligence, as measured by a visual reasoning test, was correlated with early programming success.
So if you're a quick study and love puzzles, you might have a bit of a head start when you first dive into programming. But does that mean you're doomed if you're not a natural-born logician?
Not at all. Here's the fascinating part. That link between fluid intelligence and programming success actually decreased as students gained more experience.
Okay, so while raw brain power might be helpful in the beginning, it seems like something else kicks in as you become more experienced.
You got it. This actually lines up with brain imaging studies showing that as we become programming experts, our brains actually become more efficient at processing code.
Wait, are you saying there's a coding brain? Like if you scan a programmer's brain, it lights up like a Christmas tree?
Not quite a Christmas tree, but there is evidence to suggest that expertise in programming leads to changes in brain activity. As you become more experienced, you rely less on those general problem-solving areas of the brain and become more efficient at using specific areas associated with programming concepts.
So it's like your brain develops shortcuts, specific neural pathways dedicated to navigating the world of code. That's incredible. Does this mean that anyone can train their brain to be a coding machine?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? This research certainly suggests that practice and experience are key, and that our brains are incredibly adaptable when it comes to learning complex skills. But beyond the fascinating brain stuff, this research also explored some very practical ways to support learners.
Okay, let's talk about that. I'm all for the brain science, but I'm really interested in actionable takeaways. What did the researchers find that could actually help struggling students?
Well, they did. Remember those early mental models we talked about?
Yeah.
Well, the study didn't just assess those models. It actually incorporated specific exercises designed to strengthen them.
So kind of like mental drills for programmers.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the results were promising. Students who completed these exercises, even those introduced later in the course, showed significant improvements in their programming performance.
Now that's what I'm talking about. Actionable insights. It's so encouraging to know that even if you don't start out as a coding natural, targeted practice can make a real difference.
Absolutely. And that's one of those exciting things about this research. It's not just theoretical. It offers concrete strategies that educators can use to support students of all skill levels.
It's like instead of just identifying who might struggle, we can actually equip them with the tools to succeed. This research seems like it could revolutionize how we approach programming education.
I completely agree. Imagine a future where instead of weeding out students who don't fit a certain mold, we're empowering them to learn in a way that plays to their strengths.
It's like personalized learning, tailored for the coding generation. Instead of a one-size-fits-all approach, we can provide individualized support based on each student's unique cognitive profile.
Precisely. This research really highlights the incredible potential for creating a more inclusive and effective learning environment for aspiring programmers.
This has been an incredible deep dive. We've gone from exploring the inner workings of the coding brain to uncovering practical strategies for improving programming education. But before we wrap up, I have one final thought to leave you with. We've seen how our brains can adapt and optimize for coding, but what does that tell us about learning complex skills in general? Is there a universal blueprint for mastering new things, or do we each forge our own unique neural pathways along the way? Food for thought. Thanks for joining us on this fascinating journey. Until next time, keep those cognitive wheels turning.